ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, number two. And I believe that this is service number 165 or thereabouts. And in keeping with our emphasis on helping you to get through, no doubt, the most difficult time of your life in this plague pandemic, if you are a child of God, if you're saved, you need to pray and you need to read the Word of God. You need to go back, if you have ever done it in the past, to old-fashioned family devotions and family altar, quiet time, whatever you want to call it. If you're single, you need to have personal devotions every morning. You need to pray and read God's Word and preferably sing a song of Zion. You need to do that every morning, every day, before you even get started. Otherwise, you're going to have a miserable day. And miserable days add up to miserable weeks and months and years in life. And I'm here to tell you, I believe there are many people who live like that, who claim to be Christians, but they live miserable, sad, defeated lives of despondency and desperation and deadness, and they go to their grave, to the great good night, not having done 1% of what God gave them the ability to do. And it's a shame before God Almighty. And you will not do what you should do as a child of God if you don't pray to God for His help and depend upon Him and obey His word, with an emphasis on obedience to His word. If you read the Bible all the way through, as we have done, the overwhelming thing that you're going to get is very simple. God has never blessed disobedience, and He never will. God blesses obedience, and He does not bless disobedience. And some people have a false theology and false teaching in their minds that because they have been forgiven, they can just go and do what they want and just keep on asking for forgiveness and things like that. No, God wants us to obey His word, and when we violate His word, He wants us to repent. That means turn away from it, confess it as sin, and repent of it. And that's all grace as well. That's all grace as well, dear friends. And if you don't learn how to obey God, because that's going to be that's the whole thing. If you get once you get saved, you're on a process, and you're on a pathway of learning how to obey God. The Bible even says, very interestingly, that Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. I don't fully understand all of that, but I know this: you're going to learn obedience through the things you suffer. I don't care who you think you are, educated, uneducated, beautiful, handsome, smart, intelligent, rich or poor, or not so handsome or not so beautiful. I don't care who you think you are. You better learn obedience. Because see, we're in the mess we're in today because of disobedience in the church. And what God wants us to do is to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and repent and get back to Jesus Christ, our first love. Now, I know you don't like to hear that, but it does not matter what you like. That's what you need to hear. And God is not going to grant us relief through anything, vaccine, other medications, or whatever, until we repent in the church. And as soon as you think you have gotten rid of one thing, he'll send something worse. So get back to God, people. Get back to the Bible. That's what this service is about. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, this Savior, this service is about your getting saved. And if you're grieving so hard and so much that you can hardly look up and hear anything else I say, this service is for you, because we're going to pray for you and your family that's grieving over the lost loved ones from the coronavirus plague. And if you're sick, we want to pray for your healing. So this service is for everybody. And it has proven to be so, because it has grown longer than what I ever thought it would. So that's why we have two services every morning by the grace of God. And trust me when I tell you, I would not be doing this. I'm not doing this for my health. I would not be doing this if God had not told me to do it. Trust me, believe that. I don't get a dime for doing this. I'm not in it for myself. The only reward I get is the best reward, that I'm obedient to God. I'm being obedient to God, and God is blessing my life because of that obedience. I'm trying to help you. God set me up. He warned me that this was going to happen, and he set my family and I up beautifully, perfectly. He hid us away in the perfect spot. I could not have created this or made this happen in my own power at all. My family will tell you how much I thank God for leading me to do what I did about 3 years before this plague came. And the truth of the matter is, we'll be just as messed up as so many of you are right now, with food crisis, housing crisis, and everything else, if God had not warned me like Noah. He said, you need to move and do something. And God knows he set me up beautiful. So I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this to help you get through it. And so with that, Dr. Francis Chan, a very interesting young man, said, we never grow closer to God when we just live life. It takes deliberate pursuit. By the grace of God, though, and attentiveness. And what he's saying there is that, because we got people who have this philosophy, particularly in the prosperity gospel world, that somehow once you get saved, you're just going to float along in life. That's not happening. I don't know where you get that from. That is not happening, sweetheart. That's not happening. It's no floating. It's fighting. It's no floating, man. I'm just going to float from prayer to prayer and read the Bible, and I'm going to do be obedient to the Lord. The devil's not going to bother me because I'm one of the king's kids, and I'm the head and not the tail. All that. That's not. Get that out of your mind. You have been bamboozled, and you have run amok with that foolishness, and you ran the church amok with that foolishness. There's no floating, it's fighting. And what he's saying is, yes, you're saved by the grace of God. Yes, you live by the grace and mercy of God. Yes, God is good, but you'd still have a will. And you have to choose whether or not you're going to pray in the morning and read the Bible in the morning. And the reason why most of you don't pray in the morning and read the Bible in the morning is because it is a fight. It is a battle. And most of you don't like the battle. You don't like the fight. You don't see it as warfare, but it is. You don't want to see it as warfare, but it is. And the reason why you don't see it as warfare is because you don't read the Bible. You got little gurus, so-called Christian gurus, and their little cute little sayings and quotes that you live by. Their little affirmations that they send you in their little tweets, and you just go by that and you live on that. That's nothing. You hear me? I don't care if it's me. And God has given me some great words to say and quotes and so forth now through the years, but you can't live by that. You must live by the Word of God. A man cannot live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. You got to live by the Word of God. You can't go by some pre-digested stuff, some little blogger wrote about it. That does not mean anything. Little cute little bloggers and their little cute little sayings and it's based upon their little life that ain't worth a flip. People, don't get me started here this morning. I'm trying to be nice to you. You've got to pray and read the Bible. You've got to do warfare. You can't go by little cute sayings that people come up. They fight all night long trying to come up with something new to say. Something new to say. Everybody wants to hear something new. You need to read something old. You need to read the old book, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will make it new every morning. Don't you people get me started today. Let me move on. Let's pray. Holy Father God, Lord, you're getting me fired up here and ready to go. And Holy Father God, I pray that you'll help me to do this the way you want me to do it. And Lord, help your people to get back to simple prayer and simple reading of your holy word and the simple singing of the old hymns personally and family-wise, single and married. Help millions, Lord, to get back to praying to you in the morning and reading your holy word with the determination to obey your holy word and to put the day in your hands. And Holy Father God, we pray help us in all of our families that name the name of Christ. Help us to pray. Help us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways in our families, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit for all of us to do that. Not just one or two in the family, but everybody in the family. And Lord, we pray that you would heal every family that names the name of Christ. Help us all to pray together, obey together, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 particularly, and to stay together. For so many, Lord, as you know, families are falling apart because they were houses of cards, just a show and a sham. They're falling apart like flies now because of the pressure of the plague pandemic. You're showing up the true who the true Christian families are, and we thank you for that. We pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas and Jezebel and Sanballat and Tobias out of every Christian family. Drive the hypocrisy out of these families who are acting like the Adams family at home, and the Brady Bunch family at church. And Lord, you're uncovering all of that foolishness. Please continue to do so. Break it up. Lord, help us all to break up by your grace our fallow ground. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of those families that don't know you as Savior. Grant them household salvation before it is eternally too late. I believe that you will do it, because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I have no doubt you will hear and answer this prayer. And then, Lord, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will, and I have no doubt that you're going to answer this prayer, raise up laborers into the fields to reach the whited harvest across this country and around the globe before it is eternally too late. Have your gospel via the internet or by any means necessary to reach people, Lord, before it is too late, because you are coming back in the rapture, and you're coming back in the second coming to rule and reign, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor. So, Lord, we know that you want millions and millions more saved, some of the most unlovable people in the world. Lord, you want them saved because of your holy word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You want everybody to take advantage of this wonderful good news, first preached by Jesus and best preached by Jesus. God, I thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And Lord, by the way, please forgive us of our sins in the so-called church of today, a modern church. Those of us, at least, who name the name of Christ, forgive us of our wicked sin, Lord, of not witnessing to the lost, not loving the lost. We have not obeyed your great commission or your great commandment. And the truth is, Lord, not everybody, but most of us have failed you. And so please forgive us. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Join me, my dear friends, in praying the new common prayer. Yes, I am a Baptist preacher, and this is not what we do as Baptists, but I like the prayer. That's right. That's why I pray it. I like it, because I mean what I pray. Now, I changed the prayer to make it more suitable, more appropriate. And you don't have to pray the new common prayer, but I'm going to pray it, because I believe that you can pray any prayer as long as you mean what you pray and pray what you mean. That means you're concentrating while you are talking to God, because you are talking to God when you pray. I hope you understand that. I don't care if it's the Lord's prayer, a written prayer, or your prayer. You need to pray what you mean and mean what you pray. And God will hear and answer your prayers as long as your heart is engaged in what you're praying. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned. Everybody should be praying out loud. And strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent according to thy promises, declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, let's go down to Ephesians chapter 6 and that stretch of verses that deals with spiritual warfare, which is fitly adjacent to the family verses proper, and a passage that we have read together as a family for 33 years, because God showed me that the devil was seeking to destroy our family. Yes, that's right. Primarily because I had been called to proclaim the gospel, had already preached the gospel for nearly 10 years around the world when I got married, and I saw that instead of my wife, Marika White, turning out to be a helpmeet in the ministry, she was turning out to be a hurtmeet and not doing what she should do as a wife and a mother. And the devil, she was allowing the devil to use her. And I know you don't like that because you're such fake and phony people that you can't stand the truth. But if she says something negative about me, you would eat that up. You love that, see. But see, nobody can say anything about the Jezebels in the world. Nobody can say anything about the wife and the mother in evangelical Baptist Christian service circles. Can't say anything about that. And I wouldn't even say anything about it if it wasn't so egregious and so satanic. And I learned a long time ago that it's not about the person. It's not about flesh and blood. That's what we see in this passage. That's why I read it every day. That's the only reason why we're still married. And my wife is right here with me after 33 years of marriage. And she's serving me and serving more now than some of the children. And serving better, meaning serving the way I want her to serve. Yes, there have been times I have fired her from jobs. Yes, in the Lord's work, that's all we do. But she is serving better now, more consistent now. She's learned more down through the years. But one of the reasons why we have survived is because we read this passage each and every day. Now, this is one passage we read every day. We read the family verses above it proper, but sometimes we would just read one or two sections to focus on it. And let's see, the devil has been fighting me for a long time. He wants me to stop preaching the gospel, preaching the word, and he would use my wife to try to cause a problem. And he's used a couple of two or three children down to teenagers down through the years, and young people as well, but not as much. And they had a similar type spirit of Judas and Jezebel and rebelliousness. Okay? And I share this with you because I know that this is common. This is a common problem, and we have a whole bunch of lying people in the church. And naturally, most husbands, it's just not in them to tell the truth about how rebellious or evil their wife has been as a wife and mother. It really has to be a big problem for them to finally tell the truth. And in my case, I'm in a position to help many people not to hurt my wife. She has already apologized for this publicly herself, and she has admitted doing these things on her own accord, and it has helped many women, many wives and mothers, to repent and to understand that your children are growing up fast, and they will be 18, 19, 20, grown and gone faster than what you think. And that's when it's going to hit you, if you are not the wife and mother you should be when they're coming up, because those years are going to go very fast. And I told my wife that before the children were born, right before the first baby was born, my sweet Daniela Danny White, what a blessing she has been down through the years. And my daughter Danny, when she was growing up as a little girl, she would, her mother would be so rebellious and disobedient and disrespectful that she would just shake her head and ask, why is mommy doing that? And I said, and all I could say to her, that to me is very stupid to do that. So all we can do is pray and deal with the situation in hand. And but anyway, before she was born, right before she was born, I told her, your job as a wife and mother is to submit to me and to obey God's word regarding your relationship to me, and to, as a mother, make memories. And I'm helping somebody right now. I'm using the problem that was in our family and helping you, because even though you don't like to tell the truth, you know the truth. See, and the world and the worldly church wants to make the beautiful, sweet little wife as the angel, and all beautiful, sweet little wives and little women, they all know they're not angels. See, and I know it too. See, I'm not fooled by your beauty, like so many men and so many people and so many pastors and so forth. You look like an angel. You look like an angel, but you know deep down you're a devil too. You don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Don't give yourself away. See. And there are many men who never get that. Because in their minds, they're saying, how can a creature so beautiful, so angelic, be so evil and so mean and so hateful and have such a bad attitude and be so disrespectful and rebellious and so forth? See, some of you people don't like, some of you men don't even like this. You know why? Because you know it's true, but you don't have the testicles to confront your wife. But you can confront everybody else. You are out in theological battles and got your little blog fighting this brother and that brother, but you can't say the truth to your wife. You've adopted the philosophy that my dad adopted. See, I saw this in action, and I saw the ruination of our family because of it. My dad's philosophy was, Danny boy, listen, I just don't say anything to keep the peace. And this is what you have been taught by your great pastors and their little books and their little sermons. Just say yes. Just say yes. This is what they tell you. This is what these older men tell you. When your wife disagrees with you, just say yes. Yes, ma'am. And she calls you out your name, just say yes, ma'am. When she tells you to go to your little man cave or boy cave, yes, ma'am. You just be there whenever she needs you. But other than that, you shut up and say yes, ma'am. When she gives you a honey-do list, you say yes, ma'am. This is what they have taught you in evangelical Baptist Christian circles. And the whole family, that's one of the reasons why we're in this plague. And that's why you're stuck at home with your family now. Because God is not pleased with that foolishness. See. How is it that you're under the control, sir, of a woman who does not even know what she wants? A woman who changes from day to day, who's fickle-minded. And you know it, and yet you just say, yes, darling, yes, dear. So-called pastors and leaders in the church have made men to be punks. Don't tell me that has not happened. Even one of the great evangelical preachers of the day, Dr. Tony Evans, has said it himself. And we all ought to be ashamed of ourselves, see. I'm trying to help your family by telling the truth about my family. See, one of the reasons why men don't want to say anything negative about their wives, too, it's a noble reason. We want everybody to think well of our wives. We do. Deep down. All men do. I do, too. And I tried my best to have that to be the case. It's only in recent years I told the truth. Because much of it is past now. I won the battle in my family. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the HNIC in my household. I'm lodging in charge. So I won the battle in my family. My dad didn't. And the whole family was a mess. There are pastors right now, great men of God that are considered to be great men of God. They have bought into this philosophy. And they can't say anything negative. But you know what? Here's the deal, though. And this has been the case in my ministry for 40 years. These pastors who don't tell the truth about the situation, they are so happy and glad that I tell the truth. Because they know their wives and the women in their church need to hear it. Listen to me. In most churches, before the plague, the women were flat, slap, out of control, and the women know it. You say, preacher, how can you say that? I can say it very easily because I know they know it. You know why? Because women do know their place and their role. But if men let them get out of control like that, that's what they're going to do. They have a sinful nature just like you do. And so, anyway, we read this passage every day. And it helped me to stay with my wife and not get a divorce from her because of the passage that talks about how that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not just her. Yes, she is involved. She must take responsibility and she must take the rebuke. But the devil is behind it, seeking to destroy your ministry. See, you got to understand, I don't care who you think you are. You can't say that you're in the ministry and you're called by God to be in the ministry and you're divorced and remarried. Oh, that's a shocker. No, it shouldn't be. You know better. God hates divorce in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and based upon Jesus Christ, you're living in adultery if you are divorced and remarried. Now, Charles Stanley did it right. His wife didn't. She left for no doggone reason. Just Satan got a hold of her mind. She didn't. That man didn't do anything to her. That's right. I said it. And Andy betrayed them and everything else, and so forth and so on. But his wife did not have any grounds to leave Charles Stanley, and God knew it, and he knew it. And he stayed put. And he's finished his course. He kept the faith. And blessed, God used him to bless millions of not only people, but preachers. I don't know how many preachers stole his sermons. I know of one down in Orlando, Florida, who did. See, but he didn't get married again. He didn't have a girlfriend. You know, all that foolishness. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Mm-hmm. See, he did it right. He stayed single. But see, if I got a divorce, I knew that I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I was going to get married in a hurry. I have to. Because I'm not Charles Dad. I'm from the hood. I'm from the hood. I got to get married. I got to have me a woman. Got to. And so, but my point is, your ministry is going to be damaged if you do that. Across the board. You may not think so, but it's going to be damaged. In the sight of God and in the sight of others. Okay, so it was important that our marriage stayed together. But here's the thing, and this is the mistake some of you pastors make, and some of you preachers make, and some of you people make. I was not going to let it stay together at any cost. I was not going to compromise what the Word of God said. She was not going to be flying in my face and disrespecting me and disobeying me in front of my children and having a nasty attitude in front of my children and getting away with it. No, 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 that was not going to happen at all, and it didn't happen. See, I remained in charge. I did not compromise, and she still stayed. And I believe that the reason why she stayed is because I didn't compromise. Because she knows her place deep down on the inside, even though by her sinful nature, she's rebelling against it. And that's what your wife is doing. But some of you went out there and bought big, fine houses. And in most states, you got to both have your name on the thing and all of that in case you get a divorce. And she knows, and then you bought all this and that and this, and trying to prove your love for her and win her over that way. And you've had your 3 and 4 children and so forth, and she's got you right where she wants you. See, that is for a good wife. It's not for just any wife, all of that. And $1 million insurance and all of that kind of thing. That's for a good, virtuous wife. Not for a wife that's giving you problems. You don't do that. You rent. You don't go out here trying to win her over by buying her stuff and giving her money and all this kind of stuff. No, man. I said, I didn't do that. She was not worthy of that. So I didn't do that. And I couldn't trust her. See, to have all of that. So I didn't give her any leverage that she could use against me. And I stayed largely in charge. You say, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, that's tough. We're still together. And you've been divorced how many times? See, and you know it's been a mess being divorced and remarried and got 2 and 3 families you got to visit on Thanksgiving and all this kind of foolishness. You got the children traveling across the whole United States to be with one fake family and then the other fake family and all that demonic foolishness and confusion. See, there is something called, as Dr. Dobson dubbed it, tough love. And if you don't practice some tough love with most people, not only with your spouse, but your children, anybody living in your house, if you don't practice some tough love, my friend, it's not going to last and it's not going to work. Some of you husbands need to put your foot down and practice some tough love. And tell your wife, well, no, we're not going out on the date night tonight until you wash them dishes and clean this house and get these roaches out of here around my children. I know you don't like that, but it's true. That's what you need to do. And if she's a Christian, She's not going anywhere. She's going to get mad, huffing, puffing. That's what you don't like. You can't stand it. You can't stand any conflict. You can't stand. Well, why you can't stand that? Well, I just want peace. I want peace. Not at any cost, though, sir. That's what my dad did. And the family was a total mess. A total mess. Children slapped out of control. Wife, mother out of control. All kinds of mess and hypocrisy going. And my dad was a preacher. And my mother was a preacher. And both the sons got women pregnant outside of marriage. And both the girls got pregnant. Come on, man. You know why? My father, bless his heart, he was a loving man. Seeking peace. Wants to just want peace in the home and instead of righteousness and godliness. He should have taken a rod and whipped our asses. That's what he should have done. Everybody. And he should have done it almost daily until we got our act together. Everybody bringing shame on God's name. Except for him. He was not out there doing any sins or anything like that. But he allowed sin in his family like Eli. And I love my dad. I love my dad. I believe he was a true Christian man. He was just misguided and he was not taught. He never had a father. My mother never had a father. And so I learned from them negatively what to do and what not to do. And suing for peace all the time and all of that. When you got a rebellious witch, Jezebel, as a wife, causing problems for the whole family. No, you better put a stop to that. And if she did not humble herself down and obey me, we would have gotten a divorce. That's the only other thing we could have done. But I insisted on her obeying me and following my leadership. I insisted on it. It's either that or you can leave. Because I understood that if she was not willing to do that, we don't have anything anyway. See, love obeys. Love doesn't just have sex and go out on dates. Love obeys the authority over it. If she truly loved me, she would obey me. Just like if I truly love Jesus Christ, if she truly loved Jesus Christ, we would obey him. For Jesus Christ made that clear. Right now, we're just reading one verse in this stretch of verses. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You must live by the Word of God, and you must be sure about your soul's salvation. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all people who claim to be Christians in this world. Help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for all Christian families that they would do it your way, found in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. We pray, Lord God in heaven, for all ministers in government, from the President of the United States on down, in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection and provision, blessings upon them all. And we pray that you will save their wretched, ungodly souls and their lying souls and help them to repent and be saved. Crucify everybody's flesh and fill everybody with the power of your Holy Spirit. And once they are saved, and lead, guide, and direct them in the paths of righteousness, that they would do right and be a help to the people that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives. We pray for the salvation of the lost in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray that you would protect all of the Christians who are being persecuted around the world, especially in China. And Lord, we pray and we thank you for all of the people who listen to us in China and who read what we put out around the world on a daily basis in China, in the underground church. And Lord, we pray for them, that you would protect them from the evil government that is over them. And Holy Father God, save them as well. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for the protection of Israel, the golden country that has impacted the entire world in powerful and wonderful ways. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the sick of the coronavirus plague, and the healing of the sick of many other people who have cancer and other illnesses and sicknesses who have been stricken. Lord, heal them as only you can in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are saved, help them to call for the elders of the church to pray and to confess their sins honestly and transparently. And Holy Father God, we pray, Holy Father God, we pray that you would comfort the grieving who have lost loved ones in their families. Some have lost multiple loved ones. Lord God in heaven, we have no words of comfort. There's not a pastor in the world who's been trained to comfort people in a situation like this. And so, Lord, we commit these souls into your hands. And Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort as we pray for all of these people. And we pray for a few by name. We thank you for the person who goes through the trouble of finding all of these people who have died. And we're nowhere near even 1% of touching how many have died around the globe. And many of them are Christians as well. And so comfort these families as only you can. We pray for the family and friends of Costa Rican First Lady Henrietta Boggs. We pray for the family and friends of Louisiana caregiver Keelan Dillard. We pray for the family and friends of Peruvian Mayor Ricardo Valderrama. We pray for the family and friends of Texas hockey player Tyler Amberge. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee musician William Purcell. We pray for the family and friends of Nevada singer Bruce Williamson. We pray for the family and friends of Kentucky veteran Anthony M. Hopkins. We pray for the family and friends of Nevada professor Felicia Campbell. We pray for the family and friends of Georgia Secretary Marcia Sasser. We pray for the family and friends of Mexican actress Cecilia Romo. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Lord, each and every person. And we pray that you'll hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers that have gone up for them. Thank you for your holy word and your promise. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We pray, Lord, for Alice. We pray for a few by name, but we pray for all of the people. We pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material protection and provision blessings upon these people, and protect them from the coronavirus plague as well. We pray for Alice, for her sons, and grandchildren to be saved. We pray for the children in her Bible club and their families, for you to fight her battles and protect her family and all persecuted Christians. Bless her finances and transportation. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for Brittany. Give her a stronger relationship with you, for a better relationship with her mom and dad, for a better job, and to have faith for all these things to happen. We pray for Pastor James. Please bless and prosper his gospel ministry in Kenya. We pray for Verdell. Heal her son, who is very ill. We pray for Khalif and Edith, bless their evangelistic meetings, revivals, leadership training, and discipleship ministry. We pray for Alice, have her parents to become real Christians. We pray for Wesley, heal his roommate's friend Jennifer of heart problems. Help Jennifer's boyfriend to get saved and to be caring. Now, Holy Father God, we pray for those who have been saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. Help them to grow in the faith. We pray not only for the few that we're praying for right now, but for all of the people who've gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. We pray for Des. We pray for ID. We pray for Linda. We pray for Shema. We pray for A, we pray for Harry, and we pray for L. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives, and help them to grow in the faith. And we pray now for the people who have rededicated their lives. They heard the gospel preached through this ministry. They heard your holy word preached. And even though we don't give this invitation, they have sent in letting us know that they have rededicated their lives to you. We pray for Joe. We pray for Lo. We pray for Nat. We pray for George. We pray for Angela. We pray for Dominic, and we pray for And. And we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our devotional reading today is titled The Walk of Faith by Dr. A.W. Tozer. Dr. A.W. Tozer, a man I used to read quite a bit as a young Christian, said there are spiritual lessons for every Christian believer in the life of godly Enoch, seventh generation from Adam, through Adam's third son, Seth. We are impressed that he could resist the devil and find fellowship with his creator, God. For he lived in a worldly society headed for destruction. Enoch's daily walk was a walk of faith, a walk of fellowship with God. These scriptures are trying to assure us that if Enoch could live and walk with God by faith in the midst of his sinful generation, we likewise should be able to follow his example. Because the human race is the same and God is the same. Beyond that, Enoch reminds us that the quality and boldness of our faith will be the measure of our preparation for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. We walk by faith as Enoch did, and although it is now 20 centuries after Christ's sojourn on earth, we hold firmly to the New Testament promise that our risen Lord will return to the earth again. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and thank you so much for what you have done during this time. In the first service and in the second service, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your divine purposes. Thank you for your divine power of your Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the strength, the power, the peace, the purpose of prayer. And Lord, thank you for giving us a mind to pray. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to believe by faith in you, to hear and answer our prayers based upon your holy word. Ask and ye shall receive. Seeking ye shall find. Knocking it shall be opened unto you. Now, Lord, grant me your strength and your grace and your energy and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to preach your holy gospel once again. Lord, make it plain for people to understand it. And Lord, help the saints out there all over the world to invite others to hear the gospel. Some on their deathbeds, some in hospital beds. Help them to hear the gospel preached and be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, his Ten Commandments. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Have you ever lied before? Have you ever taken God's name in vain before? Have you ever dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed your parents before? Have you ever stolen some money from your parents or somebody's food out of the refrigerator or out of the cabinet? Have you ever lusted after anybody or anything before in your wicked heart? You can answer those questions for yourself, but I already know the answer. You have done some of those things, and you've committed other sins as well. Would you admit that before God Almighty? We're all sinners, from the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, from the Bishop on down, and from Joel Osteen on down. We're all wicked, evil, ungodly sinners by nature and by choice. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, I only see one person praying. Everybody should be praying for the lost. Everybody should be praying for the lost. If you're saved out there, you pray for somebody else to get saved. For the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. We're all headed there. The soul goes to eternal death in that awful place called hell, the place of torments, the trash heap of the universe. Hell is a very real place because Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any preacher, any prophet, any apostle, and any writer in the Bible. He preached, in fact, more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross, and was buried and rose on the third day to save your soul from hell. He described hell as a place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the pain and the torment. He preached on hell, and he described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. You're on the road to hell. Even as I speak and you listen, you've already committed enough sins to go to hell. And if you have not trusted Jesus Christ, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior in a saving way, we're not talking about church membership. We're not talking about a baptismal certificate. You're on your way to a devil's hell. For Jesus Christ said in one of his sermons on hell in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, notice how earnest and serious he is about this. He was not joking. He was not playing. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't have time to do that. He was not a comedian. He is the Christ. Jesus Christ said, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place, dear friend. Hell is a sad place, and it will be sad for you to go there. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. The good news was said by none other than Jesus Christ himself as well. He preached on the bad news more than anybody else to warn you not to go to hell. And here's the good news. You don't have to go to hell because Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, took away your sins. He took away the sin of the world by suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose on the third day. Dear friend, all you have to do is believe in him. For he said the most wonderful, most loving words ever spoken on God's green earth. These words are matchless. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. for you, for me, and everybody, so that we can live eternally with him in heaven. So call on his name and pray and ask him to save your soul. Confess that he is now your Lord and Savior. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, there you have it. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to you to save your soul from hell and to give you new life in Christ so that you can go to heaven when you die. Are you willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you are, follow me in prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart, and be saved today. Holy Father God, repeat after me phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And yes, Lord, as you know, I committed some of those sins, if not all of them and more. I am guilty, and I deserve to go to hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today from hell. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free download. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. If the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Pacific, if the Lord says the same. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for these two services. We praise you and we thank you that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been preached twice, and that you have led us to deal with the comforting of people who are hurting over their dead loved ones, family issues, and emphasis on prayer and devotions. And we pray that in the end, by your might and your power, for we are reminded from your holy word that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, that millions of souls would come to know your Savior through the preaching of the gospel here. Millions of Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified. Now, Lord, as we depart from this place today, help us all to pray without ceasing throughout this day. Help us all to read and to meditate on your holy word. And help us to accomplish those things that are pleasing in your sight and for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time. Make sure you pray without ceasing. Make sure you meditate on the word of God and read the word of God throughout this day. Pray for me and pray for your family. God bless you. Until next time.